Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I am your host, Mark Berti, the content marketing expert, bringing you three new episodes each week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgaberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. And in a world that is meant to make us more efficient, allow us to do more things, give us so many different opportunities, we find ourselves a little overwhelmed and a little distracted as well. So we're going to be talking about that. Like, we find ourselves with so many capabilities, but distracted in part by information overload, in part by not being able to identify our priority. There are a lot of reasons why we get distracted, but we have to be productive. So how can we be productive in a distracted world? That is going to be the focus of this episode. Today's guest, who is going to share some insights on that with us, he is a speaker. He speaks for corporations, conferences, and nonprofits. He is also a coach and podcaster with an obsession to teach people how to get more done. He is the author of the book, How to Really Be Productive, which helps readers boost their productivity, but as with a lot of other content, it will only be useful if you take action on it. Something that today's expert really emphasizes, that you have to take action in order to see the results and be productive. So who exactly is today's guest? Well, today's guest for episode 283 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Mark Strucheski. Mark, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
I'm really happy to have you on the show because, I mean, we get distracted so easily, and I feel like this is something that anyone, regardless of your passion or niche, you want to figure out, how do I get less distracted, be more productive? So I'm really looking forward to getting into that. Before we do, though, can you share with us where your obsession for helping others get more done began?
It was totally by accident, and I kid you not. I lost my job back in 2005 for a corporation here in Houston, Texas. And, you know, I said, well, I know the answer is to become an entrepreneur. I mean, why not? And so I got into wedding and portrait photography, and I really didn't want to be a photographer. I just wanted the gear. But one of the things that came out of there was speaking, because I didn't want to market my business on, you know, like everybody else was. Everybody's doing Facebook and postcards and what have you. So I went to one of my friends who was a speaker, and I said, listen, I want to learn how to speak so I can talk about my business to groups. First time I spoke, my wife told me, you're hiding behind the camera. You need to be a speaker. So I began to come up with different topics to speak on. The first one, which to this day, I have no idea where I came up with it. It was from hopeless to hopeful. Don't ask me where I came up with that. I have no idea. I must have bumped my head or something that day. The next topic, I didn't get anything out of that. No traction on that talk at all. Then I came up with how to overcome roadblocks on your path to success. Note to self, if you're not successful, don't write a book about being successful. It's not authentic. And so one day I was sitting with my coach, and he says, you don't look good today. I'm like, I really want to speak, but I don't know what I should speak on. And he says, well, why don't you speak on productivity? I'm like, why would I want to speak on productivity? He goes, because you are so productive. And I said, well, isn't everybody? And he says, no, most people are not productive at all. They're just spinning the wheels, not going anywhere. And so I started diving into the whole concept of productivity. And along with my podcast, I've learned that productivity is this ginormous umbrella, and I happen to focus on distractions because distractions keep you from doing what you truly need to get done.
And I mean, you really hit on a point where not everyone is productive. I feel like a lot of people, they know how to be productive. They have an idea, but it is that implementation part where, I mean, if you are productive, you feel like it comes easy to you, like with any kind of skill, you feel like it comes easy. But when you look around, you realize, hey, that skill doesn't necessarily come as easy. And then you found your calling to help people get more done. So that is a really great backstory and interesting how the your coach helped you reach that determination for you to focus on productivity. And now I'd like to focus a little bit on the whole distractions part, because I feel like we have good intentions, but then we get hit up by a distraction that evolves into two, three, and so on. And you say that the three big distractions are email, social media, and people. And I would like to tackle those one at a time because I feel like they're so important. But I'm wondering if we could start with email. How can we, because some, we have to be in the inbox a little bit. So how can we do what we have to do in the inbox without getting sucked in?
One of my favorite words is compartmentalization. And what I encourage people to do is you schedule time to be in your email. And when it's not time to be in your email, you don't be in your email. And that means, I know this is going to be heresy to a lot of people, you turn off those notifications. Mm-hmm. Most people don't need to be alerted every time they get an email. And what's happening is they're going about their day, and all of a sudden they get a pop-up on their phone. Oh, it's an email. I've got to check it. And it turns out it's spam email or a newsletter or something like that. So I tell people, you need to not be in your email as much as possible. I mean, email is a fact of life. I'm not saying it's not. What I'm saying is don't live in it. Don't have your notifications turned on. Those are my first big two tips. The third one is whether you're composing an email for the first time or you're replying to someone, don't be vague. Be very, very clear on your answer or what you're asking for and what you expect out of them. Don't ramble on. But don't say things like, well, what do you think? Or thoughts, question mark. Make sure you're very specific, because you don't, the last thing you want is the other person to not understand what you said. And then they reply to you, I don't understand. And then you reply back to them, and it's this ping pong back and forth. So I always tell people, be very clear. Read it over several times before you hit send. Was I clear? Do they understand what I'm wanting? And be very clear, especially about your call to action. So if you want them to proofread something, don't say thoughts, question mark. Say, I have attached the document that we've been working on. I finished my draft of it. Please read the whole thing and then give me back your thoughts when you finish reading it. So they know not to reply to you until they have finished reading the entire report, instead of just going, well, what do you mean? You see what I'm saying? You want to cut down the number of emails going back and forth.
I mean, I like, if you do have that clear response, you do decrease that back and forth. And I feel like a lot of time in the inbox, it's unproductive, not just because you're not doing something like a podcast interview or working on your book or something like that. It could also be just replying like 10 replies and something that could have been done in just one very thoughtful reply in the beginning. So really great insight there. And also getting rid of those notifications. I mean, it does sound like heresy to some people. That's one of those things, you just gotta do it. There's really no other easy way. You just gotta make that change happen. And then it's easier for you to focus on other things. And I'd like to talk next about social media, because people see that, especially listeners for the show, they see social media as a way to grow your business. But I mean, again, there's trending topics, there's content surfing. So again, like, how do we get on social media, do what we got to do, and then not get warped by the trending topic or whatever is there to get us?
Let me say the word I love that I said a few minutes ago when we were talking about email: compartmentalization. Don't have all your notifications turned on for all your social media platforms and reply to every email or every notification that comes in, because you won't ever get anything done. Schedule time to check on social media. Now, you may do this three or four times throughout the day, 15 minutes here, 30 minutes here, but do it with a plan. Yes, you need social media to grow your brand and your business and to help people. That's all great. I get that. The problem is people have all these apps running all the time with all the notifications on, and their phones are binging and zooming and swishes and boinging all day long. And then they say, I'm not getting anything done. I wonder why. Because you are always checking social media. There is a serious epidemic of a FOMO and fear of missing out. And I used to make light of it, but now I realize it's a real thing. People are always checking Facebook. Not me. I deleted my Facebook account. Oh, wow. Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram. They're afraid they're going to miss something. And they're. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm checking. What are you checking? You're with lunch with me. Well, I may miss something. If something big is going to happen or has happened, a satellite falls out of the sky or there's a bomb going off, you're going to hear about it. We are wasting so much time surfing social media. And I think, Mark, people don't really understand how much time they're really on social media. They're telling themselves stories like, I'm not on that much. But if they started recording every minute they're on social media, or if you happen to be an iOS user like I am with iOS 12, they've got this thing called screen time, which every time you open an app, every time you respond to a text message, it tells you. If you have something that can tell you how much time you're really spending on Twitter or Facebook, most people would be shocked. But because they don't have the real data, what they're doing is going, they're telling themselves stories. Oh, I'm not really that bad. Oh, he's not talking to me. No, I'm fine. But they may be spending 8 hours a day on social media. I know people, myself, who will, let's say, go to the restroom, and they will be in there for 30 minutes. Now, nobody needs to be in the restroom for 30 minutes. And I really, they took their phone in. And I'm like, are you alive in there? They're checking their social media. They can't be without it for 5 minutes. And this is becoming, addiction is real on social media. It's becoming an epidemic that we can't not be on our phones. It's like, if I'm not on my phone, my heart's going to stop, which is not going to happen.
And I just want to quickly talk about one thing you mentioned, the iOS 12, the screen time or tracker. I'm not sure.
Screen time. Yes, sir.
Okay. How do we get that on our phones? Like, is screen time like another app with like all the other apps that Apple provides? And is that something that automatically happens in the background?
Once you install iOS 12, you get the screen time. And Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, even said he was shocked at how much time he was spending on Instagram, because every time you open an app, it starts tracking it. Every time you open your email, it tracks it. Every time you open up WhatsApp or Apple Music or Spotify, it tracks all that stuff. Every time your phone's unlocked. So let's say you're watching TV with your buddies and you hear a ding on your phone and you unlock your phone to read the text message or check email, it tells you, you picked your phone up. So you get dinged every time you unlock your phone, and you get dinged every time you check an app. And what's doing, it's really helping people understand, holy smokes, I'm really spending so much time on my phone. Now, I've gamified this, Mark. For the last 4 weeks, my numbers are going down because I'm intentionally trying to spend less time on my phone than before. So the screen time, and it's not just screen time in iOS. There's Rescue Time. There's other apps you can get for your phone that you can download for Android and iOS. But it'll tell you the data. It doesn't, there's no judging here. Every time you open up Facebook, it's running a timer. And I think people really need to see the real data, because when they see it and they go, oh my gosh, I spent how much time watching YouTube videos last week? Now you've got the data. Instead of saying, oh, it's not that bad, now you can say, oh, dude, yeah, you're spending 8 hours a day. That's 56 hours a week. And when you see that number, you're like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? And then you start making changes.
That's awesome. I mean, there's a tool called Toggle as well, T-O-G-G-L, that allows you to track time. You had to like manually type in the time. You could track like certain tasks, but I like that screen time feature on Apple and the other app as well for Android that lets you see how long you're spending in each app. I feel like that'll be really awakening for anyone who uses one of those apps depending on their phone. And the last thing you mentioned about distractions were people, and I got the email and social media part right away. Like I understood that, but it's a little more complicated when we think about people. And I do understand someone like you know, you get locked into a conversation or something. So I can see how that would happen. But you have like relationships, you have just like networking. Some people, they have their phone with them because they're waiting for a media call and they have to be on the phone in that moment. So based on like avoiding distractions, but still like getting the best out of relationships and networking, how do we address the people part of that equation?
I want you listeners to write this, what I'm going to say, down. Get to the point, stick to the point. What that means is no rambling. So if we're having a conversation, like we're talking about productivity in this podcast, if I see you in a networking event, you call me. We get to the point, we stick to the point. So we don't talk about A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. We just stick to topic A. And I think people have got to learn that everyone has 24 hours in a day. And just because you've got nothing on your schedule today, I may be busy. Like, we allotted an hour for this call today. I can't be on the phone with you for 24 hours doing a Skype interview for your podcast. And so I tell people, get to the point, stick to the point. So these people that are walking around this planet of ours, everyone has had this happen to them. Hey, Mark, you got 5 minutes? Or, hey, Mark, you got a minute?
Oh, yes.
And it's never 1 or 5 minutes. So what I tell people, the way to handle that, number one, if you don't have any time, if you're in the middle of doing something, you need to tell them, no, I don't have time right now. But don't stop there. Say, hey, listen, I do have 15 minutes this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Does that work for you? If you just let them in, if you're in the middle of something and you say, oh, yeah, sure, and you don't put any boundaries on it, like, yes, I have just 5 minutes. Then they're going to think, oh, I can sit here and get comfortable in Mark's office and talk to him for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. So you got to put boundaries. So let your no be no. If you don't have time, say no, but offer another time you do have time. But if you do have 5 minutes, let's say you don't have 5 minutes, but it's a time for a break. You want a break from what you're working on. Just make sure you set the boundaries that I have just 5 minutes or just 10 minutes. If you don't tell them that, what's going to happen is they're going to talk and talk and talk and go from topic to topic to topic because you didn't put the boundaries. And when you get closer to the end of the time, let's say you gave them 10 minutes and you look at your watch, I recommend using your timer on your smartphone. When you get down to the last minute or two, say, hey, listen, okay, we got 1 or 2 minutes left. Let's wrap it up. Because if you don't put that boundary on there, they're not going to know when to stop because they're not watching the clock.
Mm. I mean, that's really great insights there because I feel like you could, like, you hear this in meetings. I think meetings is like the most common reference for this, where you can really condense an hour meeting into 30 minute meetings. You can condense a 30 minute meeting into a 15 minute meeting. So really establishing boundaries. I mean, that's a really great approach to making sure. I mean, it's about efficiency and effectiveness, like getting the most information out in the shortest amount of time and not to go distant on random topics, which can happen if you don't leave that boundary. I mean, if you don't have a boundary and then, you know, you have a 2-hour conversation along the way. And I mean, we talked about avoiding distractions. I'd like to also talk about the concept where people, they're doing their work, but they're not necessarily doing the work that is leading to their desirable results. So let's say that you want to get more book sales and you're focused on like some completely other segment that has nothing to do with book sales. So how do you recommend we stay focused on the work that is truly important instead of chasing all the work that we're doing, treating it all equal, and being busy instead of productive?
Well, before I answer that question, let me just go back and talk about meetings just for a moment, if I can.
Sure.
When you go to meetings, whether you're the meeting planner or the meeting attendee, here's some ideas, especially if you're the meeting, you created the meeting. Don't have refreshments. No coffee, no water, no food. If there's, because that's, people get there and they start socializing, okay? Number two, if you really want a short meeting, have no chairs. No one's going to stay in for an hour and a half meeting. Those are two things you can really do. And then always start the meeting on time and say, this meeting starts at 1, it ends at 1:30. So if you show up at 20 after 1, you missed it. You walk in, you don't get to talk. I think people are coming in and they're looking at meetings, because I used to be in the corporate world. And meetings we're at 1 o'clock. People get there between 12:15 and 1:15, or sorry, 12:50 and 1:15, and they're talking and all this other stuff. And the meeting gets started at 1:20, and all of a sudden now it's going on for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And you walk out of the meeting, you say, that could have been a 5 minute meeting. That meeting could have been held over email. And so if you're holding a meeting, make sure you're taking care of the meeting is staying on point. If you attend the meeting, make sure you get in touch with the meeting planner and say, listen, do I really need to be here? Because a lot of people, I'm sure you know, Mark, they invite everybody when only about six people need to show up. So who needs to be in the meeting? Maybe just the team lead needs to be in the meeting and they can tell the other people, but you don't need to have the whole department. I hate all call meetings where everyone's there and then no one's answering the phone to help the customers. So just a couple things I want to address on meetings. So about staying on task, one of the things that social media and technology allows us to do is hide behind their computers. And this happens to almost everybody I know. You know what you need to be working on, but it's going to take a little more brain power. So what you do is say, you know, I'm going to go check LinkedIn, or I'm going to do some research for my podcast, or I'm going to create some, go find some guests for my podcast. And we're doing stuff that doesn't need to be done when the stuff that really needs to be done doesn't get done. So what do? Well, I'm a big believer in planning your day. I believe if there's nothing on your calendar, the odds are you're going to get nothing done that day. So schedule time on your calendar. Now, don't schedule every minute because people are going to call in late. You're going to have car problems, whatever. But make sure you have some semblance of what you're going to do today. Because if you schedule item A at 10, item B at 10:30, lunch at noon, then you know, okay, I'm going to at least have a better chance of winning and having a successful day than if I don't have anything. A lot of people who are working on the minutiae, the peripheral stuff, I ask them, well, what was on your schedule? And they're like, well, I didn't have anything in my schedule. Why would I put things in my schedule? I'm like, that's the problem, because then you're just in the moment. You're just reacting. Where when you're planning, you are now being more proactive. Now, you may not do everything that's on your schedule that day, but what's happening is you are setting yourself up for success because at least you have something on your schedule, and as opposed to a blank schedule. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I mean, I like the scheduling thing. It's something that I'm a big advocate for as well, because, I mean, as Mark mentioned, even if you don't get everything done, you're getting some of the things done. And if you don't hit certain goals like day after day, you realize this is something I really have to push harder for the next day. So, I mean, writing down your schedule is a really, again, it's one of those things that'll awaken you big time and help you get towards your goals.
And I heard once from a little known person named Tony Robbins. He's a really small person. No one's ever heard of him. But he says, it's because we were talking about action in the beginning of the podcast. Doing something, even if it's the wrong thing, is better than doing nothing at all. So I want the listener to think about that. Doing the wrong thing is better than not doing anything at all, because at least you're moving. You're doing something. But if you sit back and do nothing, well, then nothing's going to get done.
Now, that makes a lot of sense, because, like, we'll use investing as an example. If you are making the wrong investments in the beginning and you learn from those, maybe you can make something better at the end. And it goes like business. If your first book doesn't do well, you could do better later. If your first training course, whatever it is, doesn't do well, you could do better later. And even if it does do well the first time, you know things that will make it better a second time. So,
yep.
That's a really great, from some guy, Tony Robbins, really great quote from that guy. But one of the things that I do want to ask, because I feel like a lot of people, they set goals for themselves and they get a little frustrated along the journey because they're at point A, they want to get to point B, but they're just not getting there. It's taking a really long time to get there. So I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from being able to reach those results and their full potential?
Jim Collins wrote a book a number of years ago called Built to Last. He also wrote Good to Great and some other great books. In the book, he talks about big, hairy, audacious goals, BHAGs, as he called them. And what I'm seeing is people either have a BHAG and they haven't made any progress toward that goal, or they don't have any goals. So let's address the people, because I think more people don't have any goals at all than have too many BHAGs. So here's the thing. January 1st is just a date in the calendar. A lot of people say, well, if I don't have a goal by January 1st, I got to wait a year. No, you don't. So I don't know when you're listening to this episode, listener. It could be 2045. I have no clue when you're listening to this episode. I don't care if it's a Monday, a Wednesday, a Sunday. I don't care. If you don't have any goals, I want you to commit to spending time, translation, schedule time on your calendar to actually start brainstorming some goals for you. Now, they're not going to be all perfect. They're going to change. But you need to have goals, because goals are the fuel to get you to tomorrow, next week, next quarter, next year. Goals are so powerful. One of the habits I picked up from Grant Cardone, he has a book called The 10X Rule. I highly recommend it. He talks about writing your goals down, not thinking about them, not meditating on them, though you can do that, but actually writing your goals down with your own handwriting in a real notebook when you first wake up and before you go to bed. The reason why, it becomes so ingrained in your brain that they become part of your life. I am shocked, Mark, by the number of people I say, what are your goals? Like, you should be able to rattle your goals off. I mean, right up, boom, boom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, how many goals you have. But so many people have no goals. And I want to implore the listener that if you have no goals, first of all, it's okay. You're not a bad person. But start creating goals and commit to yourself to creating at least one goal today. Now, make sure it's a stretchy goal. Don't make it like, I want to listen to one more podcast in the next 2 years. That's not a stretching goal. I want you to say, okay, I've always wanted to write a book. I want to write a book within 5 years. Say, I want to have my book written in 180 days. Something that's going to stretch you, get you outside your comfort zone. But Mark, I really believe that goals are the fuel, because your podcast is all about success. Goals are the fuel that get us to the success we want.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, the goals that we set for ourselves, they really control how far we go. And just to further establish that January 1st myth, where it's like, you know, it's either you have goals there or you don't. In November of 2018, I set a 12-week goal for myself. And some people were like, well, shouldn't you wait until 2019 to start a 12-week goal, because that's going to cut into the new year? I mean, like, the years are all relative. I mean, it's just this concept of 365 days in a cycle. But the underlying idea is that you set a goal now to get accomplished within a certain time frame. So it doesn't matter if you're setting the goal on January 1st, January 20th, November of 2019, or it doesn't matter when you set the goal, as long as you're setting it now and you have a deadline for accomplishing that goal. Because I mean, you point out something really important, because I feel like this episode is going to come out sometime in January, where you don't need to have that New Year's resolution to have a make or break year.
And I would like to say, for my really big goals, because I do have some really big goals, I have chosen my birthday, June 21st, is the day I like to set for a deadline. I don't know why I picked that. So any of my big goals, because I love my birthday. I get lots of presents. People throw parties for me. So I, on the really big goals, I don't set them for December 31st. I set them for June 21st. It's just what I do. Now, if I have a yearly goal, such as I want to have this many downloads of my podcast, well, I look at a calendar year. Or if I want to make this amount of income, I will have it for calendar year. But I know I had Brian Moran, he wrote a book called The 12-Week Year, I believe it was. And he says, break your goals down to 12 weeks. And, you know, these are all just hacks and strategies, listener. What you need to do is do something. I don't care if it's a yearly goal, a quarterly goal, a 12-week goal, and you know, a 6-month goal. You need to have goals. So don't get caught up into, well, should it be a 12-week goal or a 1-year goal? I'm sure you agree with this, Mark. Don't worry about the time frame. Yeah. Just start with having a goal first.
And I mean, you mentioned a lot of great books there. Brian Moran, he was a guest on the show, so we will link to that in the show notes. You've mentioned a lot of books, so I'll also mention podcast domination. For anyone who wants to grow a podcast, markliberty.com/PD. That is Mark with a C. We have on the show Mark with a K. So quite the predicament there with the C versus the K battle. But I'm wondering, I mean, like you mentioned that you weren't always into the productivity space. You mentioned that you weren't in your job in 2005. So I wonder if you could talk about one of the big challenges you faced in your journey. It could be that moment where you were getting to that, like identifying yourself and becoming a productivity expert, whatever it may be, but one challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Well, no one likes to be fired. I'm 53 years young at the time of recording this podcast, and I've only been fired twice in all my life of living. And when I got fired in July of 2005, I went through the many emotions. I went through anger and I was sad and all this other stuff. But, you know, I had a very, and I still have today, a very supportive wife. And if you're going to go on your own, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, I don't know if entrepreneurs listen to your podcast or not, you have to have a supportive spouse. If they are not going to be in for the long haul, because you don't become an entrepreneur today and tomorrow you're making trillions of dollars like Richard Branson or someone like that, you have to have a supportive spouse. And for me, knowing I have a spouse who is on my side, cheering me on, she has a, air quotes here, real job, bringing in the money. For a long time, I brought in no money. For years, I brought in no money because sometimes some of it was my fault. Some of it was the fault of the people I invested in, you know, coaches and whatnot. But I take full responsibility. I don't pass the blame. I take responsibility for that because I did choose to hire them. But you got to understand that there will be a lot of lean years, and you may have a good year and a couple bad years, but entrepreneurship, you're in it for the long haul. And a lot of people, I don't know about you, Mark, but they'll say to me, man, you're so lucky to get to work for yourself. I said, yeah, I work for myself, which means I'm the CEO and I'm the janitor and I'm everything in between. If I don't work, nothing gets done. I don't get paid. Where you go to work, if you have a bad day, you still get a paycheck.
Right.
So a lot of people are meant. There's nothing wrong with it. If you like going to a job and you get a salary and you get vacation and you get benefits, there's a lot of people that works for them. For me, that drove me crazy. I like the freedom of working with whoever I want, whenever I want, anywhere in the world. I like that freedom. And so we all have our different callings. But for me, losing my job was a wake-up call. Now I look back and I'm so thankful I got fired, because had I not, I probably wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Yeah, I mean, when one door closes, another one opens. And in some cases, during our deepest bottoms, like our worst points, the valleys, there's the comeback story. There's the rebound. So it's in part like learning from what happens to you instead of, I mean, Mark could have very easily just been upset with the world and like, for the rest of his life that he got fired in that job, but he decided to reinvent himself. He decided to pursue the lifestyle that he now loves. So just because something really bad happens to you, that could in the long run lead you to something even greater than what you had in that moment.
I agree 100%. And I would tell people, well, I do tell people, whether they're seeing me speak or listening to my podcast or hearing me on yours, you were put here for a reason. I'm not talking about religious beliefs. I'm saying that everyone is put on this planet to do something. I did not figure out that was for me, Mark, until I was 50 years old. Just 3 years ago, I was just floating around life in a canoe without any paddles, just going wherever the current took me. And so the reason why I share that with you is if someone is listening to this podcast and going, man, I'm 53 years old, or I'm 48 years old, and is my life over? I plan on making it to triple digits and beyond, okay? So if you don't know what you want to be when you grow up right now, I don't care how old you are, it's okay. It's okay. Keep learning, keep learning, keep trying new things, keep your opportunity antennas up, and when the right moment comes, you will be surprised, because I've talked to people who were, let's say, accountants, and everyone in their family was an accountant, and they're really good at accounting, but they hate accounting. So I'm like, don't be an accountant. well, what do I do? I'm like, well, start with what your passion is. What would you like to do the rest of your life, but wouldn't care if you got paid for it? Okay. Once you know what that is, find out how you can reverse engineer it and make money at it. You only get one life. And it really saddens me when people say, well, I'm making good money at my job and, oh, well, I hate the job. Like, you're going to go through the rest of your life hating your job, hating what you do? I mean, wouldn't you like to go do it? I'd rather make less money, Mark, and be happy than make a lot of money and be unhappy.
I mean, with a job, I mean, some people, they like the idea of going to a six-figure job that they hate, but coming home with that paycheck. But the argument against that is, well, I mean, if you're working like the average person, you're there 8 hours a day, and we're just making this very simple, 8 hours of work a day, 8 hours of sleep a day, and 8 hours of like whatever else you want to do. So if you not count the 8 hours of sleep, that's 50% of the waking hours where you are upset with the work that you're doing. Don't think for a second that will not have an impact on how you spend those other 8 hours with your family, with friends. So, I mean, if you're at a job that you don't like, I would look for a way to not get out of it cold turkey right away, because that's not the smart move either. But I would look to do work related to what you love doing and gradually build that into a business until maybe someday you can say, I'm done with this job, and then go all in with your business.
Have you ever heard of a guy? This is another guy you probably never heard of, Mark Cuban.
Oh, who's that?
Mark Cuban is a self-made billionaire, and I saw a presentation once he gave. He's also on Shark Tank, which I actually love. It's one of the shows I watch. He had a question for an audience. I guess he was speaking in front of a bunch of college kids, and he said, who's next? So when you're looking at the Mark Cubans, at the Tony Robbins, at the Oprah Winfrey's, at the Elon Musk, why can't that be you? Mm. So many people go, oh, I could never do that. Well, you're limiting yourself.
Yes.
Elon Musk was not born with an idea of Tesla and SpaceX. Okay. As he grew up, he came up with the idea. So many people are making excuses and say, oh, I wish I could be a movie star. Well, who says you can't? You're saying you can. Henry Ford says, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, either way, you're right. So I say dream and do what Grant Cardone says, dream big. I mean, dream so big it makes you uncomfortable, because like Grant says, would you rather fall short of a $1 million a year goal or a $10,000 a year goal? Hopefully all your listeners, Mark, will say, I'd rather fall short of a $1 million goal. Mm-hmm. Just dream big. Here's the thing. It doesn't cost you anything to dream. And so I encourage people, dream. What do you want to do? Do you want to be a world traveler? Do you want to be the number one podcast in the world? Do you want to be a best-selling author or a big speaker? There's only one person holding you back, and that's yourself.
That's a very powerful message. I'm not even going to add comments to that. I mean, that message in and of itself is powerful enough where it will resonate strongly. But as that is sinking in, that idea, we are the only ones who hold ourselves back. I'm wondering, Mark, if you could share with us one question that you believe we need to be asking ourselves more often.
One question we need to be asking ourselves more. Well, this is not an original to me. I got this from, again, Tony Robbins. Why? You need to ask the question why over and over again. In other words, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I at this place doing this job? Why do I own this business? Why am I a speaker? Why am I a podcaster? And find out the answer. What is your why? So many people, again, we already touched about this a couple times in the podcast, are just floating through life, wherever the current takes them, where they go. And I'm like, why are you on this road going this direction? Why are you going to school? I help out in my church's youth group. And I asked him, I said, you know, what do you want to do? I want to go to college. I'm like, why? Well, I thought everybody goes to college. Well, no, you have a plan first. Why do you want to go to college? Why do you want to become a doctor? Oh, I want to help people. I want to cure cancer. Okay, now that's a why. Have an answer to your why. So I would say to tell people, hey, ask yourself, why are you doing what you're doing? Or why are you working where you're working? And a lot of people, I think a vast majority of people in the world have no clue what their why is. They're just doing it because it's got to get done, but they don't know why.
Mark, awesome question. Thank you for sharing all of your great insights with us. This episode's show notes will be at markbrody.com/E283. If you want to learn more about Mark, head over to Mr. Productivity, M-I-S-T-E-R, productivity.com. You'll find a lot of awesome stuff. You'll also find Mark's book over there, How to Really Be Productive, for anyone who wants to boost their productivity. Mark, is there any other places where we can find you, or would you just recommend we go to MrProductivity.com?
Well, when they go to MrProductivity.com, if you want to find me on social media, scroll all the way to the bottom of the homepage. There is where I am on social media. There's information on how you can find my podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. Sign up for my email newsletter. So everything is at MrProductivity.com. And I just want to say that it's just a redirect, because if I told you to go to markstuchowski.com, you'd go, wait, what? So Mr. Productivity. So I'm telling your listener this so they don't get confused when they type in MrProductivity.com and the website says markstuchowski.com. I did that because I'm on a guest on so many podcasts, great podcasts like yours, Mark. I just want to make it really easy for the listener. They have a better shot of going to my website if they go to MrProductivity.com than if they try to go to markstuchowski.com.
Yeah, that is a good idea, especially, I mean, we had to talk before the episode began. I wanted to make sure I got it right, because you've got like a CZEW in there.
Yep.
I mean, it's a good name, but like, I feel like if people are typing it, it's like remembering Mark with a C or something like that. So, I mean,
I try to make it easy for people.
Yeah, it's a great redirect strategy. I like it a lot.
Well, thank you.
So, I mean, Mark, but really thank you for being on the show. I mean, I feel like a lot of people are getting some insights from this episode about how we can be productive in this world that's filled with distractions. So thanks for making some time to come on the podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn